The Daily Mirror calls on you.
Football is about nothing unless it's about something, and what it is about.
I am going to get 100% out of you.
Of course, it is a different life.
Welcome back to another Mirror Football Podcast. I'm Steve Anglesey. With me today, I've got Jolyon Lescott, I've got David Pleat, but once again, I've got Robbie Savage. How are you?
Very well, thank you, mate. After the, you know, after last week, when it was obviously, you know, such a difficult week, you know, my spirit's been lifted a bit, and I'm looking forward to doing your podcast, sir.
Excellent. Excellent. Right, well, let's start with something that's not going to lift my spirits in any way at all. Manchester City went to Stoke, difficult place to go, Saturday night. 1-1 draw is not good. The non-award of the penalty at Old Trafford on Monday night made it a lot worse. What exactly has gone wrong with Manchester City? That's three away wins out of the last 10 now. Is it down to... I mean, David Silva... December time was nailed on as player of the year. He's kind of drifted out. Is he carrying a knock? Is that what's up with City?
No, do you know when it's all gone wrong for me?
Yeah, go on.
Is when they played United in that FA Cup game.
Mm.
Goals returned for United.
Yeah.
It was the African Nations Cup. They missed Torre. Tevez was away at all this. You know, there was... You know, but City went into that game as favourite.
Yeah.
You know, and then they went 3-0 down. The whole players was in shock. You know, United had a weakened... tied out, obviously bringing back scores at that point everybody thought was a strange decision, you know, and the way United played in that, you know, first half and second half, but then City got two late goals back, you know, I think it's had an effect on them. Their away form has been poor. You know, I just thought that, you know, is it the fact that United now do have the easier running? I think United had a big decision for them on the night. I was covering the game for BBC, you know. That was a stonewall penalty. But I think in that situation, you know, Michael Oliver's only 26, 27. I don't think referees know the game. Do you mean, in that situation on the penalty, there's no way Michael Carrick could have got the ball from the angle he was going in at.
No, definitely not.
His reaction was, oh my God, I've given away a penalty.
Yep.
So Michael Oliver's got to know the game. For me, enough referees... Yes, they know how to ref. Yes, they get decisions wrong, but they don't know football. You're not telling me they go and watch it. They love it. They listen. They learn. Yes, they can referee, but they don't know football. And that, if you can't give a penalty for that, for me, you shouldn't be refereeing. It was a blatant penalty. You know, so, you know, but United have had things against them, you know.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But at Old Trafford, you know, a lot get knocked, don't get given, and do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think United have got players in their teams who can play poorly and win games. I don't think they were at the best against Fulham. Yeah, they had loads of possession, should have been 3 or 4 nil at half time or whatever, but they weren't. They can grind results at. And I think that's the difference, that, you know, they can grind results at when they're not playing well. City, when they're not playing well. You know, I just can't see them yet with it. They've got world-class players, but world-class players who have never really won Premier League titles or in other countries. United have. Do you know what I mean? United have got players who have won titles. It's okay winning the Spanish Cup or the, do you know what I mean, or whatever De Jong was or Company. But if you're looking at the team, for getting over that line, they've not none of them really done it. Although they're highly paid, successful players.
Yeah, there's Yaya Toure, isn't there?
Tevez.
I suppose Tevez at United, you would say.
Still win at Valencia?
No, I don't think so.
And then you've got, obviously, Barry hasn't, Milner hasn't.
Yeah.
Johnson hasn't.
True.
Richards hasn't. Clichy might have at Arsenal. Not sure. Hart hasn't. Aguero hasn't. Dzeko might have won it at Wolfsburg, I don't know.
No.
Do you mean you've got players who have not really been at the situation? Well, they've been in the situation and haven't got over the line. Maybe that's, you know, it's a mentality thing. Maybe it's just the fact. I think the turning point was that FA Cup game.
Yeah,
and I think the situation is, their home form is it 15 out of 15?
Yeah, it's 20 out of the last 20, isn't it, in the league? So it's
unbelievable. It's just that away form, that the mentality of going away. You know, I think the downfall has been, like at Sunderland, you know, what United do in them situations, they get a point. You know, they don't get beat. You know, they got there's been other occasions where there was There was Sunderland away.
There was more recently, there was Swansea away, wasn't
there? Swansea away. Yeah, United don't lose them games, do you know what I mean?
No,
they don't play well, they don't lose. No. I think that is the difference. United's mentality is just to get over that line and they don't get beat. They shut up shop. Do you know what I mean? As I think City have been a bit naive in their away form. And I think all in the game when it was the FA Cup game, 3-0 down, and then, the Tory being away. Although Silva's been off the boil. Jekyll's been off the boil. You know, it's players at the important time of the season. If you look at United, I think Rio Ferdinand's playing really well. I think Carrick is playing
Carrick is playing really well. Johnny Evans is playing well.
Rooney's been on fire. Yeah. Young's in form. You're looking at this part of the season when it counts. United are the masters at this stage of the season.
That's right. They're very, very narrow on a very, very narrow pitch against Stoke Manchester City. Is that lack of width going to hurt them? You look at United and you see their wingers marauding down the flanks as they always do. And City are very narrow sometimes, aren't they?
Yeah, they are very narrow. If you're looking at the top teams this year, I would say, looking at the United, Ashley Young, and they've had Nani or Valencia.
Yeah.
And with the fullbacks, they've got Raphael and Everett overlapping. You're looking at Spurs. You're looking at Lennon, Kyle Walker overlapping.
Yeah.
Bale, Asso, Cot overlapping with the width. Arsenal, Gibbs and is it either Oxlade-Chamberlain or
Walcott,
Daniel and Walcott. You're looking at Chelsea. They've got no real width. Yes, they're doing well in the Champions League. Do you mean? But you're looking in the Premier League, getting the ball wide and creating stuff. Looking at City, they've got no. They don't play with any real wingers.
No, and it
I
just
think sometimes when you can stretch the game.
Yes.
Get it wide. I think it proves that 4-4-2 with wingers is a good thing. But then again, in games, if you look at the Fergie in the big games, he goes to five. And I think sometimes if you're City, stretching a game, maybe it's a case of accommodating your top players, do you know what I mean? Looking at home against Chelsea, Nasri was superb.
Yes, he was superb.
Do you know what I mean? If Nasri's not playing well, Silva will play well, all the way around. But sometimes I just think that, Rich is playing a centre-half, yes, I think he's a fantastic centre-half as he's a right-back, but when he plays right-back, he adds that width and that pace down the line.
He does. Yeah, he does. I mean, there's two kind of enigmas in that team. Zeko, you mentioned, who's now being linked with a move to Borussia Dortmund. And there's Adam Johnson as well, who has done it in fits and starts. The last few times he's come on, and when he started, he hasn't really played very well. He's not really made much of an impact on the game. Are you going to cut your losses on those two in the summer, or are you going to give them another go?
Well, I think if City don't win the league, I think Roberto's done unbelievably well for that club. I think he deserves another season.
Yep.
And I think, what's going to happen with Tevez, we don't know. But I just think that with Jekyll, he started so well. Four goals, I think it was a Spurs.
Yeah, this season he started well, didn't he?
Yeah, but he's just fizzled off. Maybe that's, the Premier League, you got to be so fit to compete every single week, every single game. Maybe give him another go, but I think they'd be looking if they don't get anything this year to improve on the squad. I don't think, Jekyll would fit in for me next year. And Adam Johnson, I don't think he'd be happy sitting on the bench either, for most of next season. So, even though they're both very good players, I think in the team, Adam Johnson for me would suit something like Liverpool.
Yes, I
especially
think so.
If you've got Carroll, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, that's right. That's right. That game on ESPN last Saturday night. Did Peter Crouch mean that?
Yeah, I listened to some Muppets on the talk stage.
He meant it, didn't he?
Of course he did.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Of course he meant it. It was a fantastic technique. The ball didn't touch the floor except from the goal kick. Goal kick, flicked on by Crouch, come back to him, flicked them for this. I was with Joel Hart on last weekend and at a charity function, for the five stars scanner appeal for kids, and Joe was actually serving me my wine on my table.
Very good.
And we were talking about it, and he said, "Unbelievable! You can see he meant it. It was a wonderful strike from a wonderful player." And I think he's underrated, Crouch. He gets, on a radio station, people were saying it was a fluke. When he scored a goal like before, but I seen he scored a couple of overhead kicks for Liverpool.
Yeah, he did.
Great techniques. You know, he's a fantastic player. Great record for England. And, you know, with Carroll not performing, Bent being injured, you know, Rooney being suspended for two games, why not take Crouch?
Mm.
As a sub, listen, I'm not saying start him.
Yep.
But as a squad player, when, you know, because he can produce moments of magic like that, and he's a different.
Yeah, I mean, he has scored...
You know, Heskey was the man they had different for all them years, who did a great job for me. I know Emil gets criticised, but that's people who, you know, who just hammer Emil for the sake because he's Emil Heskey. But you know, having played with him and against him, you know, what a player he's been, Emil Heskey.
Mm.
And I think, you know, Crouch is that different thing they've got now. You know, yeah, I don't think he's good enough to start the game for England, you know.
Nope.
But as an impact player with 20 minutes to go, if you lose it, just throw him on.
And he has scored 20, I think it's 20 goals for England.
You look at his record.
Hmm.
21 goals in 40 games, whatever it is, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good record. Yeah, he's
Bent was fit, and if Bent's fit and there's other players fit, and Sturridge, Welbeck, you know. For me, you've got to have Crouch ahead of Fraser Campbell.
Yes, I would have thought so.
For me?
I would have thought so. There was a great mass brawl at Bradford, or a terrible mass brawl, depending on your view of it. Bradford versus Crawley on Tuesday night. What's the biggest sort of mass handbags you've ever been involved in? I suppose you'd have been hiding, wouldn't you?
It was my big mouth and starts. I mean, that's all the big boys get on with it.
That's right. And then
You know, if that was now, though, I'd be in the gym a lot. I'd handle myself much better now. I've been in a few. There was the Derby Forest ones.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where we both clubs got fined. But honestly, in that situation, you've got, if you throw a punch or if you headbutt somebody, and you get sent off. It's as simple as that. So I remember Birmingham Villa when I've accidentally slipped my finger into Olaf Melberg's eye and looked like I gouged him.
Yeah.
You know, that's
pure
no
accident.
Reason for that other than him saying he didn't know who Birmingham were when we played against Villa. That was in a brawl, but honestly, I just tried to grab him away from the scene because I didn't like him. And honestly, this is the truth, my finger accidentally went in his eye. So, you know, I apologised to him. That was a bit of a brawl. Obviously, Dion's headbutt. You know, so I've been involved in a few, but I think in brawls like that you know if you throw a punch. But one thing I do got to do, I disagree with the referee going into the changing room sending him off.
Yes.
For me, again, you know, he's got the four people. There's two assistant linesmen,
yep,
whatever they're called, assistant referees, the fourth official, and you have to wait to go into the changing room to send him off. I mean, why don't you send him off on the pitch?
No, exactly, yeah.
So, you know, in a way, you don't like to see it, but passion runs high, but it takes the bigger man in that situation not to throw a punch.
Yeah.
I think.
Yes. Well, you certainly proved that.
I know. I mean, it wasn't very hard.
It takes the bigger man to run into the tunnel.
It takes the bigger man to run an eye and let Matt Elliott, Steve Walsh, and Dennis Tate get
yeah,
on with it.
Run inside away. Staying with managers for a minute now. I mean, Alan Pardew's Newcastle were just sensational, especially in the first half against West Brom last week. They were really, really good, and they've been really good all season, haven't they? Let's be honest. When it comes down to manager of the year, if we take out, you know, Fergie and Mancini, is Alan Pardew a candidate for manager of the year? Is he the top candidate for manager of the year?
I think he's got to be up there. I think his signings have been fantastic. You're looking at his front three. You know, I was asked a question on my Savage Says on the website today for BBC. Just thought I'd drop that in.
Yeah, it's always nice to plug them.
You know, has Newcastle got the best strike force in the Premiership? I don't think they have. I think, you know, City, if they can get Tevez, Aguero and Silva all playing well, I think they have.
Mm.
But Denver Bar, Cisse and Ben Arthur, you know, the way they destroyed West Brom on their counters at the first half, you know, you've got to give your credit to Alan Pardew. You know, pace, power, you know, skill, them three are a force you reckon with, and Denver Bar's got to be the signing of the season. Will Alan Pardew be up for manager of the year? Well, you know, they level on points with Liverpool, I think. Alan Pardew will probably, you know, like to think he was the best manager in the world. he's done an amazing job. Yes, he has. I tipped him to be down near the bottom.
Yeah.
I think he's done an unbelievable job and, you know, could be in the running for manager of the year. You know, if he was chocolate, he'd probably lick himself. but fair play to him. Listen, walk the walk, talk the talk, and he's certainly done that this year, no question.
Yes, they've done extremely well. And when you think of the, you know, you saw the people like Kevin Nolan and Joey Barton departing. Yeah. It is.
And he's got Cobain, he's got Teulte.
Yeah.
You know, the front three. You know, he's got people like Guthrie playing well, Danny Simpson.
Yes.
And he even got Colatini playing well. So, you know, he's done exceptionally well. And, you know, he got the old guard out, you know. And at the time, I think, you know, we all believed that what was he doing, getting rid of Nolan, you know, but he's gone to West Ham, he's getting criticised by West Ham fans on 606.
Absolutely.
Joey Barton, you know, being left out about the QPR team. You know, Steve Harper was given a chance in goal. You know, Tim Krul's come in, done well. Andy Carroll got Liverpool, not had a look in. So you're looking back now, at the time, everybody's hammering Alan Pardew, you know, getting rid of the big characters, but them players and them teams now are struggling.
Yes,
you know, so
that's right.
You've got to hold your hands up and say, well done, you know, fair play to Alan Pardew.
And they've had a couple of injuries as well at the back, haven't they?
And what a very good point that was.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very good. You're doing well, aren't
you? I don't know, give me that one.
You're doing well. Now, I know we touched on him before. Emil Heskey, they did really labour and they look really poor against Arsenal. And they've got another big one this week. Aston Villa could get relegated, couldn't they? They've got 33 points now. They could actually get relegated.
The win against, I think it was Fulham not so long ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did they beat Fulham? Might be wrong. Not so long ago. That win was crucial. And they won that one, 30 points. Really struggling. For me, Agbon Lahore failed to deliver so much pace. Ben's being injured. You know, playing Emil on the left wing. You know, where's he play Emil? A midfield where, you know, you'd like to play against the midfield every day of the week now. They're lucky they've got a fantastic goalkeeper and you know, a couple of good centre-halves.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd be right in it. And I think they're one win away from being safe.
So you think it'll be 36 points
will
be
36,
enough?
I think 36, yeah.
Right, okay.
I think 36 on goal difference. To be sure, 37. You know, 36 might go down on goal difference, but I'd say you're nearly safe on 36, 37, I think, definitely. Might be less, but, you know, I feel I get 36, 37, they're safe.
Yeah, I mean, they've got Chelsea, Spurs, Liverpool and United still to play, and they've got to go to Anfield, they've got to go to Old Trafford. Very difficult for them, those games. I think they've got Bolton, Stoke and Sunderland among the other games as well.
Yeah, I think that'll be enough for us. I think one win away from safety.
It is very, very tough. And though his tactics are just not winning any friends at all, are
they? No, they're not. I'm not, you know, they're not. You know, the fans are disgruntled. You know, Aston Villa is a massive club. And you know, when people have a go at Martin O'Neill and people, it just proves how good a manager Martin O'Neill is now. Do you know what I mean? Villa was sixth so many times. And
yeah.
You know, this fantastic manager. But Alex McLeish, obviously, because of the Birmingham roots, you know, maybe like King Kenny, you know, but maybe the opposite. You know, if, you know, King Kenny Liverpool, you know, because he's King Kenny and the result, you know, they're seventh in the Premier League, maybe he's living on his past by some of the older fans. And I don't think McLeish will be given that opportunity because he's come from Birmingham.
No, that's right. And obviously Birmingham had a horrendous end to this last season as well. They were 5 points clear of relegation at one stage towards the end, and that ended up getting sucked back into it. It is kind of worrying times for them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Emil Heskey, we said before, Emil, he did very, very little apart from an elbow against Arsenal. But you were saying he was a great player in his time.
Well, I've got sympathy for Emil. I think, you know, he's an easy target for lots of people. Yeah, he got over 50 England caps. You know, I think he's got over 500 Premier League games. I was with Emil Sunday night. You know, good chat to him. I played with him. And in his day, you know, he used to go past defenders like they went where. I seen him tear Tony Adams and Keown apart for Leicester. I've seen him tear Sol Campbell apart. You know, and if you were probably asked Michael Owen and people like that for Liverpool, you know, he was a huge asset to them players. The people I think he's been very unselfish, Emil. You know, he's took the knocks, he's took the higher difference from centre half behind, he's won flick-ons. Yes, you know, his goal ratio for centre half probably isn't the best, but, you know, he's an easy target, and I think he's been a fantastic, and he's, you know, he's been a role model, you know, footballer.
Yeah. I mean, it's only a couple of seasons ago, isn't it, that even at the start of last season, Rooney was Emil Heskey was his favourite strike partner for England, you know. And
if you ask the people he's played with Emil, they'd all tell you how good a player he was. The easy thing for people to do in the journalism who watch him is don't realise or understand what he offers a team.
Yeah. Yes.
But until you actually play with him, you know exactly what he offers.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We're talking Alex McLeish and his tactics there. Let's wind it up with another manager who is unpopular for his tactics. West Ham beat Peterborough on Tuesday night. They've got a massive game against Reading at the weekend. They've beaten Peterborough handily 2-0, but still fans chanting for Paolo Di Canio.
Yeah, do you know what?
And chanting, we play on the floor, we play on the
absolutely
floor. We're West Ham United, we play on the floor.
And I was speaking to somebody today in the hairdressers. You know, it's all I do is go to the hairdressers. My mate Rob, he's a West Ham fan.
It's just between the it's between the teeth whitening, the tanning salon, and the hairdressers,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, my mate, he cuts me hair, Rob. He's a massive West Ham fan. Been watching for years. We were speaking about West Ham, and I said to him, "All the years I was a Premier League footballer, right, Steve? I can't remember West Ham passing the ball about around us. You know, like Norwich do, and Swansea do, and Arsenal do. Arsenal, obviously, the best at it." I can't remember West Ham getting the ball down and playing. You know, yes, they did years ago. But for me, we were trying to think, when I played against West Ham, when did they, you know, get the ball from the back, build it up? When? I can't remember. Certainly the teams I played against.
They would have had the phase where they had, I mean, when Rio sort of first emerged and he was bringing the ball out.
Yeah, well, 14 years ago?
It must be, and giving the ball to Joe Cole, who was going through the middle then.
Oh, I can't remember. You mean?
It is quite a long time ago,
You know what I mean? But despite you get out of that league, the Championship, people haven't played in the Championship, it's the hardest league to get out of. Right? West Ham are third. I think they've got a game in hand. Have they got all the 2 points behind now?
They're now 1 point behind Reading.
1 point behind Reading, with 8 or 9 games left, how many games? With a chance to get automatic promotion at the first attempt with Big Sam. Why is the black man getting criticised? Why? Fans are fickle. Fans, you know, a lot of 4-6 or 6, and we want Sam out. And it's nonsense. A lot of fans get out of that league. Do you mean? But, yeah, okay, they might have played a bit of football with Paolo Di Canio, you know. But I'm trying to think that when have the teams I've played against West Ham, when they've got the ball down and knocked it round, like you say Swansea do?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Not particularly. You know, they were always a team who would.
But Bobby Moore era.
Very much so in that era. But I don't believe that. I don't remember that. But you know, I remember them lumping it up a fair few times with.
Think of the centre forwards they've had: Ian Dowie.
Yeah, exactly.
John
Arson. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they've had.
They've
had some big lads. Yeah, yeah.
So when have they? Listen, I'm only saying on my experience of playing against West Ham teams, I can't remember them passing the ball round us like you see it in the Premier League now with Swansea do, Norwich do, Arsenal do.
Yep, that's right. I mean, that is a massive game for them, though, isn't it?
Massive game.
Jason Roberts is.
Reading Southampton are going to go up.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Roberts has been
in the playoffs, but you know, if Sam's doing a remarkable job, yes, he's spent a few quid. He's got a lot of forwards. But he's got, mate, the third with a chance of automatic promotion. You ask them fans, like the likes of, you know, any club in that Championship will say, okay, give them 9 games to go, 10 games to go, we'll be third, 1 point behind the second player. Would you take it?
I think you probably would. I think you probably would, yeah. You probably would. Jason Roberts has been very good at Reading.
Jason Roberts doing very well at Reading.
Yeah, good. He's very good on the radio as well, isn't he?
Yeah, very good. And I always thank him for filling in my show.
Some would say he's, you know, destined for bigger things. Maybe regular Saturdays. You just don't know, do you?
You never know.
You just don't know. Robbie Savage, it's been a great delight as usual. So thanks very much to Robbie Savage, and now I'm joined by David Pleat, the former Tottenham, Sheffield Wednesday, Luton Town manager. He's here on behalf of Goaldash.com, where you can win from £10 to £1 million for predicting the fastest scoring teams in football this weekend. How are you, David?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you very much.
Very good. Now, let's talk about a couple that aren't on the coupon first, as we do, before we turn to the Goaldash coupon. Monday night's game is Blackburn versus Manchester United. United not great against Fulham on the previous Monday night, and survived a penalty scare at the end. I think it probably was a penalty. Is Blackburn a potential banana skin? They've got to play all of the bottom six, I think, and it's going to be tight, isn't it, for them?
Yes, well, I always think local derbies, strangely enough, the pressure is on the home side because they're expected, the anticipation, you know, to beat their neighbours. And it is a big scalp to beat Manchester United, but I feel class will out in this one. I think Blackburn have done well to pick up a few points at home. They're pulling out of trouble. It's going to be, you know, touch and go. But I think Manchester United definitely will have the quality to win this game, even though Blackburn will put in a great effort.
They've certainly found a lot of defensive resilience, United, over the back end of the season. The centre-backs... Chris Smalling's been really good this season, I think, obviously in the absence of Nemanja Jovic, who's probably the best centre-back in the league for me. Going forward towards Euro 2012, who do you see as being England's two starting centre-backs? Would you have Rio and John Terry, as has been in the past? Would Gary Cahill come in the mix?
Yeah, it's a good point. I think they'll have to go for the experience. I think there's many young pretenders. It's unfortunate that Dawson's got injured.
Very unfortunate.
Smalling, Jones, there are several, as you say, Cahill, but I think for probably the last tournament that they will play together, I think you'd go for Terry. You see, people talk about Terry's pace, but good players can disguise lack of pace. If they position themselves well, they cover well for each other and they know the game. That's the most important thing about centre-half, when to push out, when to drop off. And Terry and Ferdinand had far more experience against top-class international players than any of the other younger players.
Mm. What's Phil Jones's best position for you, David?
Well, certainly it's easier to move back. So if you're playing him in midfield, if he was a midfield player, eventually he can go back. He's got more time and he's got more room. He sees the whole picture. I think it's harder for him when they experiment him in midfield, when he has to play, you know, in front of. But he's got this surge. I think the surge and the ability to play the ball is better coming from the back, because it takes people off guard more than if he was in midfield. And midfield's a different game. You've got to mark, you've got to get in the box. He certainly can do that. As I say, yes, centre-back will be his position, but he'll have to be disciplined. He's got shades of David Luiz in him, where he wants to go and have a sortie. But I think he's fine, Jones. I think he's an excellent player. He's probably first season absolutely brilliant. He'll only get better.
Yeah, and obviously they've even had him on the right, haven't they? But I do like that surge that you talk about, that almost Vieira-esque surge, either coming from the back four or coming from the centre of midfield. And he's going to be an England international for a long time, I think. Also not on the coupon this weekend, the gold-com coupon. Newcastle versus Liverpool. Newcastle were an absolute joy to watch, I thought, at the Hawthorns on Sunday. Would Alan Pardew come into the England manager reckoning for you, David?
Well, you see, any manager who is English and is in the top league at this moment, which is called Flavour of the Month, because he could be out of a job next week, any manager could be, and he wouldn't be considered, I suppose. That's how it works. It works the same for England players. They only get selected if they are in the team. So there may be some very good contenders who may be currently out of work, who are not currently managing in the Premiership.
Yes.
But they will only look at Premiership, because that is the way it is. It's a strange way of selecting an England manager. And therefore, Alan Pardew has to come into it with Roy and Harry and anyone else that is English. I don't think they'll go to the Scottish. But if they have an Englishman, then Alan Pardew must be on the list somewhere, as at this moment. As indeed any other English manager who may be in the Championship should come into it. Sam Allardyce, Steve McLaren was Flavour of the Month not so long ago. Sam Allardyce was. So you have to be, you know, sometimes it's about opportunity, a bit of good fortune, being in the right place at the right time. And the people in jobs at the moment will have the chance of the job.
How close did you come to becoming the England manager? Has that ever been a possibility for you? It must have been during...
I've asked that several times. Certainly in the 80s, when Luton were having a golden spell, we got promotion, we stayed in the top league for 8 years, which was a wonderful achievement. And we were playing some scintillating football, beautiful football. Had wonderful players, people like Steen and Ricky Hill. David Moss was outstanding.
Yes.
I had Mick Harford, Mal Donaghy. I can go on. I had some super players. And of course, at that time, yes, of course, my name was being mentioned, as Graham Taylor's was at that time in the mid-80s. He didn't get the job until later on, when after the Villa.
That's right. What can you say about the? Obviously, it's been a great season for Newcastle, and quite unexpected, really, for those kind of outside of Newcastle, maybe for some Newcastle fans as well. What can you say about the kind of job that Graham Carr has done in bringing some of these players to the to St yeah. James's Park?
Well, I know Graham very well, as you know. I appointed him at Tottenham
yes,
as chief scout.
Of course.
Graham has since is quite famous for of course, being the father of Alan the comedian, of course. Graham is a man steeped in football, real passionate guy, did wonderfully well at Northampton, a far, far underrated
yes.
achievement what he did. Played very direct football, but super, he scored over 100 goals, they were, and all his players went on to better things, which is terrific. And of course he managed at Nuneaton, he followed me at Nuneaton too, in the Southern League, did Graham Carr. He was a young centre-half, he was. Northampton as a player. Graham Carr is a hard-working scout. He watches players thoroughly. He knows where the market is for value. So he looks in towards the lesser players in Germany and certainly in France. And he's done superbly well with everything that he has done for Newcastle United. And of course that is appreciated by Newcastle. And he's got a free rein now, and because they trust his judgment, because he's done so well with so many players, and all credit to him. He's a hard worker.
He is a hard worker. The other side of that game is Liverpool, obviously. Jordan Henderson is somebody came for an awful lot of money. He's got an awful lot of potential. Do you think Jordan Henderson just needed a year to settle in?
Well, that would be obvious. He hasn't done it.
No.
He's had a lot of criticism.
No.
It seemed a lot of money for the player at the time. I wish him well, because it must be difficult for him, because he, in my view, as an outsider, he hasn't established himself this season.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't continued his reputation. But I'm sure next year he will do better. And sometimes at a very big club, you know, it can be a real goldfish bowl. And I think maybe he'll need next year to really come on and show what he's got to offer.
Mm. Okay, the games that are on the gold-com coupon this week at gold-com, you can win between £10 and £1 million for predicting the fastest scoring teams in football at the weekend. The one that really stands out for obvious reasons at the top of the table is Manchester City versus Sunderland. City are clearly falling away in the title race. The three wins away in the last 10 games away, it tells its own story. In December, I think David Silva would have been nailed on to be the player of the year, the player's player of the year, the writer's player of the year. What's gone wrong with David Silva?
Well, I don't know if anything's gone wrong with him. I still find him an exquisite player to watch. The way he reverse passes, the way he sees things. I think they've chopped and changed their team a little bit. He was out for a brief while.
Yeah, he had a little
bit. It's difficult to accommodate Adam Johnson as well as him. I think the problem that he has, Mancini, quite simply, is he has an overload of outstanding players, and sometimes they play as individuals. But certainly the creator for Manchester City's best chances was always David Silva, and he was outstanding. There is no question about that. And maybe he's dropped slightly. I think that his... opportunity to maybe become PFA or the Football Writers Footballer of the Year would come if Manchester City are to wrest the title away from United. I think if that's the case, he could well get that award. But I have to say, Modric at times in that similar position of a midfield creator has been absolutely superb for Tottenham.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you're talking Player of the Year, you've got to mention Robin van Persie, haven't you, as well?
Well, you can if you wish. Of course you must, yeah. Absolutely. Wonderful Arsenal centre-forward who's done marvellously well for them. And he's carried them, hasn't he, this season?
Oh,
in many games when his crucial goals have been the difference.
He's been magnificent there at QPR. Manchester City, they seem very, very narrow at times recently. Are they too narrow for you when you see Manchester United marauding?
Very good point. Yeah, very good point. If you compare with United... whose wingers, Valencia and Nani, or Valencia and whoever is playing on the left, Ashley Young, they seem to hug the touchline, which gives
yes.
the midfield players more opportunity of passing angles. They can play it wide, they can play in the centre. If you make space wide, it creates a space inside, because you drag the fullbacks, opposite
yep.
fullbacks, off the cover. So you need width. You need to make width. There's no question about that. You can't make your pitch too wide. You know what I mean. You got to, so you play with width. I like playing with width. I do believe City at times. It's interesting because Tottenham, when they play Van der Vaart on the right, and when Lennon isn't able to play, haven't got that same natural width. And I think it's the same with City, with the left footer coming off the line, whether it's Johnson or Silva coming into from those areas. It's interesting. They're trying to accommodate Aguero, Dzeko, now Tevez, Balotelli. So really, the creative players, are sometimes the wingers or the midfield passers. So, yes, I think that they lack width at times. I think that's a fair comment. I think that is a fair comment.
Let's look at the coupon now. Who are you going for this weekend as the sixth fastest scoring teams in football at the weekend?
Well, the record of last week's to go, but I do the opposite of what I say. last week I had a bit of a nightmare. I think Norwich won. Norwich scored first in their game, but I have to say, in the other games, apart from Huddersfield winning 1-0. And scoring the first goal, but it wasn't early. And then I had Liverpool to beat Wigan, of course, and Liverpool to score early, and that one was dashed. So I didn't do too well. But here's my tips for this week, if you want them.
Yes,
you want
please.
One first.
Yes.
Yes, I think Arsenal will be able to go to QPR on the back of successive wins. QPR now just a little bit uncertain of life in the Premiership, desperately fighting to do well. I'm not so sure that that's strong at centre-back, and I think Arsenal can exploit that, and it would not surprise me if Arsenal got an early goal.
Mm, excellent, yes, I can see that happening. And so QPR, it is looking very, very dodgy for them, isn't it? And they've got some very tough games against the top teams. Who's number two for you?
Number two on the list, I go into the Championship and I'll go for Brighton against Middlesbrough. Brighton, I'm told they didn't play that well at Nottingham Forest, might have deserved to be beaten at the weekend. But I think they're able to bounce. Middlesbrough are finding it a little bit more difficult at this moment in time to get a run together. I think Brighton under Gus Poyet, a good crowd will be Saturday, it'll be 18,000 plus again at Brighton. And I think at the moment they're going well. Last week they were shorn of several players when they played at Nottingham, but I think the likes of Mikel Smith, Vokes now is beginning to show as a lone player that he might pick up a goal for them. I think Brighton might get an early goal against Middlesbrough. They need to sustain victories if they're going to cement that playoff place.
So we've got Arsenal, we've got Brighton. Who's number three?
Well, Leeds, to bounce back from that mauling by Nottingham Forest, the 7-3. They did pick up, they went away and won. They need to keep winning. They've still got a chance of the playoffs, so there's that great... And they're playing against a side who's beat the odds this season. Watford have done marvellously well.
Yes, they have.
Much better than I thought they would do. Great credit to Sean Dyche and everyone at Watford. And their away record is quite good. But this time I'm taking Leeds. I always found Leeds a very difficult place to go to, a bit of a fortress. But probably I'm going back a few years. But I think Leeds have it within them to beat Watford and also to get an early goal.
And it's quite amazing, isn't it, that a couple of weeks ago they shipped seven at home and now they're not far off. They could sneak into the playoffs, Leeds. It is really compelling once again in the Championship, isn't it, David? Why is that? Is it just a more level playing field?
Yes, I think that is a very fair comment. Yes, I think it is more a level playing field. I think a well-managed team with a decent squad has every chance of getting into that top six because teams do beat each other. And I think that only Southampton, and I've seen Reading recently as well. I saw them play the other week and they didn't play that well at Millwall. It wasn't such a good game. But I do believe that Southampton, from all my scouting friends, and I have seen them a couple of times myself. You can see what they're trying to do. Apart from Lambert, Lallana, and Schneiderlin, the Prado, their players have come good. They've been well coached, and I think that Southampton have been the team that most pundits would say have been certainly the most consistent and the best footballing team.
Yes.
So I think that they are deserving of their. Proud position at this moment.
Absolutely. I mean, presumably, when you do go up, you need to keep a great balance, don't you, of the guys that brought you up in a way that QPR really haven't done. Is that fair to say?
They went up, and obviously Neil's done this before. He's got a trick. He can get them up, but because they buy players sometimes who are experienced and who are good enough to get them up, but of course they're maybe experienced and the legs aren't quite athletic enough to cope with a higher standard and a higher league, and then they come back down again.
Yeah.
You have to go up with a group of players who have promise, will only get better, and then add a couple of experienced players to them who can help them sustain that early one, two seasons in that league. Yes, I think that Neil had to buy in a hurry. And sometimes if you buy in a hurry, you buy too many too quickly, and the gelling is a problem. And, of course, Mark Hughes has come in and tried to do the same
thing. Again, yeah.
So they bought several players for a lot of money. I'm talking about salaries now, compared with what was going on before at QPR. So a whole aspect of the club has changed in many ways. So it's very interesting how QPR are going to cope should the worst come. Worst situation is that they would be relegated.
Absolutely. So that's Arsenal, Brighton and Leeds. And as we're running short on time this week, I know your final three selections are Everton to score early against West Brom, Ipswich to score early against Barnsley and MK Dons to score early against Brentford. Could those be the selections that win you £1 million this weekend with goldash.com? You're going to have to play to find out. David Pleat, that's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. So we've given you Robbie Savage, we've given you David Pleat. There's only one way to go now. Let's go to somebody who's right involved in the meat of the title race. It's Jolyon Lescott. Jolyon Lescott, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
Now, you've been playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, Content Collection 1, it sounds like a football score. You've been playing Fraser Campbell ahead of City's game against Sunderland on Saturday. How did it go?
Didn't go too well, to be honest. There was new maps, so I didn't really know them, and I came out a loser.
Oh, done by Sunderland again, Jolyon. This is no good.
Twice in one season, it's not great. Hopefully, we beat them on the weekend, though.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. What are your Call of Duty tactics then? You're not a kind of a griefer, are you, or anything like that?
I'm more of a player, to be honest with you. I'd like not to die as many times, so. I don't mind if I don't get as many kills as the rest of the team. I just hate dying.
Your tactics on Call of Duty then, have you got a sort of a prestige rating and stuff like that? And what's your longest kill streak?
The longest kill streak would be 15, I think, which is decent for me. I'm an avid fan. I'm on it all the time, but I'm not the greatest player, so anything in double figures I'm pleased with.
Okay. You've got Sunderland on Saturday at Eastlands, and you obviously been playing Frazier there. He's got the upper hand. Sunderland on Saturday at Eastlands is a must-win game, obviously. They're all must-win games now. 3 months on, can you get your head around what happened the last time you City played Sunderland?
Yeah, it was disappointing last time, but obviously they were a good team, and they was on the up, obviously, just having a new manager at the time, so the performances were great at the time, and it was probably an awkward time to play them, but hopefully, after the back of the week's result against Everton, we can capitalise on that and get 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that Sunderland game was kind of, it was almost the start of a bad away run for you, and it's probably, I think it is 3 wins in the last 10 away for City now. But you're obviously unbeaten at home. What is the difference? Do you set up in a different way? Is it just a different vibe about it? What is it?
I don't know. We can't put our finger on it. If we could, we'd obviously change it. We just, obviously, the belief, just belief more so at home. Obviously, we like to think we can win every game, but at home, I think the teams are inferior to us a bit more so than they are when we are away. So I would say that would probably be the main reason for it. But again, you can't, there's no one actual reason why we're not as good as away from home as we are at home.
You have had so much success at home. And I mean, initially, when before you were at the club, City fans were... after the move from Main Road, it was said that Eastlands was quiet. You always get this when teams move into a new ground. It's not just because of City. That's kind of changed now, isn't it? Can you really feel it now at Eastlands?
Yeah, definitely. The atmosphere is electric every game. Obviously, I never played at Main Road, but I can understand why the fans were disappointed there. I played there against Manchester City, but I didn't play there for City, so... The atmosphere was intense and stuff, so I can understand why they felt the change when they moved to the Etihad Arena. But again, now I like to think that we all think it's home and the results are going well for us there.
Absolutely. Obviously, you weren't playing on Saturday night against Stoke. I don't know what your status is for this weekend. Vincent Kompany's been injured as well. I don't know where you watched the Stoke game, whether you were at the Britannia or whether you were watching it at home or in the stands. What were you thinking when Peter Crouch got the ball?
I wasn't thinking anything, to be honest. Shoot or to score or anything like that, but as soon as it left his foot, it's one of them. As soon as you see it, you know.
Yeah, he just knew.
And I was just—it's got to be the form part he's been in all season. It had to be something world class to beat him.
Absolutely, and it was. I mean, people have said, "Well, did he mean it or not?" He obviously meant it, didn't he?
Yeah, of course he meant it. Obviously, it's kind of similar to like a hole in one. They mean to do it. They are obviously aiming for the goal, and he's aiming for the goal, so he's obviously meant to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, both City and United at Carrington, the training grounds are very close together, aren't they? And I don't know where you live, Jolyon, but most of the players seem to live in that same triangle of Alderley Edge, Wilmslow. When you meet United teammates now, I don't know who your United teammates are, but is there a lot of banter about the title race between you now?
No, never. There's never talk of football when they were friends first, so we talk about family and stuff, obviously just life in Kansas in general, but never about the raid.
And so the stuff that's been in the papers recently, you know, there's been Patrick Vieira has been involved in something, I know, and City have objected to that. There's been a little bit of what you would call mind games. Does any of that affect footballers at all, or do you just that not even enter your head?
No, it never entered my head. As I say, when you ask questions, you tend to answer them honestly, and obviously that's how you feel at the time, so I don't think it rolls under the mind games, it's just on his answers.
I mean, looking at those run-ins, the United's run-in is the easiest. Do you think that them playing some of the teams at the bottom of the table is an advantage for you, though?
Yeah, I wouldn't say anyone's an easy run-in. Either or the easy one at the minute. Teams that we've got to play. Obviously, we're playing Sunderland on the weekend, but they are playing Blackburn, who are in a good run of form at the moment as well on Monday. So there's not an easy game at the minute.
No, I mean, there's no easy games in the running, is there? Let me ask you about your own teammates rather than the United guys. Which City player would you like to face most in when you were playing Call of Duty? Who do you think could be the worst at it?
Because he's an angry man, so if it wasn't going his way straight away, he would lose his head and then he'd be all over and then.
And what would Mario Balotelli's tactics be? Would he be letting off the fireworks, tricking opponents by dropping £50 notes? If he hid, would you be able to see him hiding with if he was wearing his big hat with the fingers on it?
I don't know. Hopefully, that's the aim of the game. So, but Mario, I'm not sure he's a computer fan, to be honest, Mario, even though he's still quite young. I'm not sure he plays that many computer games.
How well do you guys know Mario? I mean, what's his English like? Is he just a normal guy? Is the stuff that we read about him overhyped?
Yeah, definitely overhyped. Obviously, there's a lot made out about Mario, but the one thing I would say about him is it's him. It's not a persona. It's not a fake character that he puts on in public. He's always joking around, and sometimes, obviously, it's perceived he goes too far, but to us, he gets on well with the team, and his English is great.
And what about David Silva? I mean, he's a fantastic player. We've said in this podcast before with David Pleat and Robbie Savage. In December, he was kind of nailed on to be the footballer of the year, but he's not been as effective for one reason or another in the last couple of months. Why hasn't he been as effective as he was early in the season?
I think he's been great for us, obviously, throughout the season. We're not going to say David did not been on form the last couple of months. Obviously, the team in general must have been underachieving, but to pick out an individual and say, oh, he's not performing, I think it's a bit harsh. But
no, I don't think he's not been performing. Maybe he's been targeted a bit more, yeah?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Obviously, he's going to be, because he's, as I say, he's probably been the best player this, so far in the league, so he's going to be targeted a bit more, and I think he's dealing with that well. Obviously, it's going to be hard for him, being man-marked and sometimes double-teamed every game, but again, I think he's dealing with it well.
Absolutely. I mean, you're in a situation now where you're almost certain of City's best ever Premier League finish, best ever Premier League points tally. If you don't win the title, is the season going to be a failure?
Yes and no. It's a great achievement, and our aim was to progress over the last 2 or 3 years, but we're coming so close to winning the title, it will be deemed as a semi-failure. But again, if you look at the positives, we can say we've progressed over the last couple of years.
Last question. So looking towards the summer, I mean, you weren't initially picked for the friendly against Holland. Was that explained to you it was going to be a temporary thing, or are you, do you have to fight to be on that plane?
Yeah, I have to fight as much as anyone else. It explained I wasn't going to be in the squad, and at the time I was disappointed, but I took on board what the Stuart Peace was saying, so I just have to get on that and hopefully now fight my way back into.
Thanks to Jolyon there. Good luck for Saturday, obviously, from me as a City fan. Thanks to David Pleat. Thanks to Robbie. Thanks to all of you for listening. We'll speak to you next week.
The Daily Mirror calls on you.
Football is about nothing unless it's about something. And what it is about.
I am going to get 100% out of you.
Oh, well, of course, you're very, 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 there's a different way.